podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Why are we sitting inside on a day like this?
That's a good point. Maybe we should have done this outside.
Or just not done it.
That's the spirit.
Not bothered.
I was in a beer garden enjoying myself.
You had a little staff team meeting, didn't you? Taking them all out for some
chicken wings and beers.
Oh, really? Should have tagged along. I was filling in forms. How are you anyway? You all right?
Well, Friday. Yeah, good, man.
What day is it today?
It's Friday. You're back here on Friday. I don't know. I like it.
Don't see you for years and I can't get rid of you.
I see you two talking about Anthony Bourdain the other day.
Yeah.
So
don't know how I clocked that was Anthony Bourdain that he was talking about because you don't mention him in the clip that
No. Good knowledge. Are you a fan?
Peripherally. I couldn't exactly call a big fan.
Yeah.
But a guy that gets to mooch around the world eating.
Yeah.
What a fucking job.
I know, yeah.
You love him, don't you?
I do love him.
I don't know a lot about him. I'm like you.
Wasn't he like addicted to heroin at some point?
Yeah, I think before he released his first book, Kitchen Confidential, he was a struggling chef and addicted to heroin. And then someone asked him to write a letter, and then he did, and then offered a book contract off the back of that. And then he just
imagine writing a letter. Hey, you wrote a letter. Well, good. Yeah. Have you ever tried
imagine
writing books?
How well, good. When you edit.
Yeah. Imagine how good that letter must be.
Yeah.
If you get a book deal on the back of it. That's like one of the greatest letters ever.
That's like literally like someone saying, Scotty, I saw you on Twitter. That was a great good tweet. Have you ever drawn a book deal?
I know.
That's as mad as it is, isn't it?
And you're struggling with a heroin addiction. You're like, well, I don't know, mate.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can be bothered. But yeah, and then he just shot to superstardom off the back of it. But yeah, coolest job on the planet, really, isn't it? Going around to exotic places, eating nice food.
And he's been, have you seen Parts Unknown?
Yeah.
I assume you did, like, but yeah, fucking hell. Literally. And right. It's the place in China, what they call some oil. Because they basically use like engine oil, don't they? What the fuck are they called?
I'm not too sure.
There's a specific sort of like street food in China, which is like, you don't really want to eat it.
Yeah.
Because it's-
What, have you got any words?
Cook it in like some oil. BP oil.
Yeah. Just like street food oil, China. See what comes up.
But you're like some of the episodes.
Gutter oil. Yeah.
Could be that.
China gutter oil. Disgusting recycled oil and sewage.
That's the one.
Yeah. China gutter oil in China is used in street food.
See, I am a fucking font of absolute useless knowledge.
You are. I mean, this does look absolutely rank.
Why not? Do you want to live forever or what?
I'm not an option really, is it?
Exactly. So what we fucking about? You're going to walk on ice, you might as well dance.
All right, you're a well-traveled man then. You've been to a lot of places. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten?
I've eaten like, I don't know how fresh this chicken was, but... There was wooden cages behind the counter with chickens in that were not dead. So I don't know how fresh this chicken was. I ordered a chicken curry in Oman at a service station, and service station's a bit giddy. Like it looked biblical. Like there was a counter, there was a bit of glass, there was no lights. The light was like a skylight. There was no lights in there, no electricity in there. And there was like chicken written in English and then in Arabic on a blackboard with chalk, and then like chickens in wooden cages behind the guy's counter. And a guy that could be anywhere between 50 and 140, like behind a counter. And I said chicken, because I was like, let's, when in Rome and all that lot.
Yeah,
you go for it.
I was like, let's fucking have a blast of this here. So we was with some Omani. Soldiers. We was mooching about near the border with Yemen, and obviously there's war going on in Yemen, isn't there? So we had to have like armed security with us while we was there. And we were trying to communicate with these guys. Didn't have a pot of glue, what we were saying. This guy didn't have a pot of glue, what we were saying. We ended up having to do like a bit of a chicken dance. Got a chicken curry in a little, tiny, tiny little pot like that. There was maybe 1 centimeter of curry in the bottom of it, like a chicken leg just poking out of the middle of it, full on bone on it and everything. Blew my bastard head off. It was the hottest curry I've ever had in my fucking life.
Sick.
That's probably the most exotic attempt. That, me and Macola at Stingray in Singapore.
Did you?
How do you eat a stingray, man? They're a beautiful animal.
It was in a bag.
Not looking too attractive in a bag.
It was literally like wet barbecue chicken, if you want to know it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Did Joe have it with you?
I think he might have done, yeah.
I can't imagine him. Joe, did you eat stingray?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
he was in his trail mix phase at the time. Like he was walking around with a fucking pocket full of nuts.
He said it's not a phase, it's a way of life.
You got to try stuff, haven't you, though?
Yeah,
like, so I probably would. I'd probably go and try. He actually, there's a Michelin star chicken place in Singapore that Joe was like, I want to go there because it's like a pound.
Yeah.
But it's like a Michelin star gaff and it's like takeaway chicken, but it's Michelin star. Now, obviously the waiting list is about fucking 3.5 years, so we weren't getting in there. But like, yeah, I'll go and try anything like that. Like, yeah. What are we doing? He's gonna have a fucking pot noodle. I don't think so.
Well, yeah. What's your most?
I was gonna say when he's going out to Thailand and that. I've tried snake, and I've also tried fried scorpion.
Really?
Yeah, it was decent.
Was it?
I was hungover to shit, so
I can't imagine fried scorpion even tastes or anything.
Well, you taste more of the batter, really. It's just a way of getting like grease inside your stomach to sober you up.
What was snake like?
Rubbery as you'd expect. It was all right. It wasn't quite as bad as I expected it to be. To be honest, I'd eat it again. Yeah. Have you ever had eel?
No. You didn't have a jellied eel down there in the East End. That was minging.
That is probably one of the worst things I've ever tasted.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I don't get the obsession with that whiskey.
No, we did it as like a forfeit for this video we were doing, and it was just horrible.
Oh, I've had that. I did it on video actually, where we did TFR live on Football Republic. Do you like fermented? Is it Finnish? Fermented shark.
All right,
something like that. I get a good lick. Stunk like.
Oh, that's the thing. I don't mind the taste of things. It's when they stink. That's what really puts me off. Yeah. I can like try anything.
Have you eaten snails?
Have you? Are they nice?
Out of the garden.
Well, you've not eaten snails out of the garden.
Yeah, with a shell.
Why?
How old were you at the time?
24. Someone said I wouldn't.
You could have been three. What were you doing foraging in your back garden?
No, I was sort of drunk. One was just like...
When has that ever been a good idea? You know what? I'm pissed. I'm going to go out in the back. No, I can't have some like, takeaway. I'm going to go and grab some snails.
I think
snails.
How it started was my mate was like, you won't eat a snail out of the garden. Who fucking won't give me
I'll show you. I was your mate fucking daring you or asking you that.
Because he knows that's like the trigger to make anything happen. 30 years I've known you. You've never known your back out of it. Give it here.
Yeah. How can a mate Steve eat snails? Say that he won't. There you go. Now he's eating snails. Yeah, that's
Jay,
all right.
Have you ever put anything weird in your mouth?
Wait. We both know the answer to that. Scott.
promiscuous chap.
I don't know what I've not really eaten anything.
You don't really like spicy food.
I'm so bland. I am proper Mr. Beige when it comes to my food, and I've not really had anything. I think the only time I had exotic food was when we did that. What was that thing we did in Newcastle?
Oh, the hottest chili you can get. Yeah. Was it chicken?
Is it Reaper?
They have like they wouldn't let you have too much of it because they said they had stag do's in it in there. It would taking too much and throwing up everywhere. Because it's ridiculously hot and you have to have like a pint of milk.
Me and Janine did it for a Patreon video where we did like the Hot Ones challenge with that the bomb, the thing that has on there.
Wasn't that bad?
Not even anything. Like really? Literally didn't even blink. Like,
seriously?
Oh, that's actually pathetic.
Yeah. When you was away, did you eat a lot of like exotic food or was it just like
you get given? Oh man, we had a little bit of it because we had a little local chefs and stuff with us. Really? And they had they would do this bread with nuts in it and stuff and it was fucking sensational. When we was in Oman as well, some of the soldiers that were the Omani soldiers, and I'll always go and try and eat. What are you lot eating? Let's have a fucking blast of that. Same happened in Afghanistan. Like they slaughtered a goat, put it into a curry. Yeah, give us a bit of that. Let's have a go. You got to fucking try this shit.
Of course, man. I mean, that's what I loved about Anthony Bourdain is he respected local cultures and cuisines and was always getting down with it. That sort of thing.
That's what you were saying on the video we did. Like,
that service station that we stopped in, what the fuck was it? I can't remember what animal it was. It might have been goat or lamb. Lamb, maybe. Might have been a lamb. They had a carpet rolled up they had like a Land Rover sort of thing. They had a carpet sort of rolled up over like the roll cage at the top. And then when they stopped in the service station, they blasted out this big rug. They sat down on the rug, they got a pot and they started tucking into it. So they invited us over and I was like, yeah, fucking right. This is the game, innit? Like, you got
to
come and try.
That's better, innit, though, than going to like well-known restaurants and stuff.
What do you do here? What, you stop at WH Smith and get a Burger King?
Meal deal.
British culture, mate. Just fucking get into it. Stop fucking around. We've got
a super chat. Manky, who's been a member of the first team for 2 months, thanks for your support, says, I once did airbag testing with a supplier in China. They pressured me into eating silkworm, local delicacy, apparently. Silkworm.
Was it nice?
Yeah, let us know.
2 billion people in China. You're going to eat some random shit.
Yeah. What'd you make of the dog's front? Would you eat a dog if someone put it in front of you?
No, I couldn't eat that.
Would you? And it's hypocritical as fuck.
I don't like cats.
Because I know Hindu people obviously have got a big thing
for cats. They've
got a big thing for cows.
Yeah.
So I'd be incredibly hypocritical because I eat beef and they see them as a sacred sort of animal. But my relationship with dogs is a different one. They are a pet to me.
Yeah, of course.
So I couldn't. And they have... they torture them as well, don't they? Or in some places, at least,
they're not
tortured.
Well kept, are they, in terms of...
Well, they're tortured because apparently the adrenaline makes
that's
them meat taste
really? So horrible. Oh, that's yeah, horrible. It's sad.
Don't make them suffer, man.
Mankey said it had a terrible aftertaste.
Oh, I bet.
There's also Colin Wilmart. Oh, he's a member of the academy for 9 months. He says, question, lads, what are we singing in the stands now? We've got no players left. Maybe an Ante Glazer and Pogba chant needs orchestrating. I won't sing an Ante Pogba chant. I don't, it's not deep, but I'd definitely continue to sing Ante Glazer ones, as we have done for 17 years. Do you know what I mean? Did you? And we'll talk about it briefly before we move on, but have you heard, because you've heard about this Pogba, Pogumentary, is it called?
Yeah.
Because you can't not have, because it's just everywhere. What have you made of that? Are you like meh?
United offering him nothing. 300 grand a week. Nothing.
Yeah. It's
is that as bad as Ashley Cole's fucking nearly crashed my car at 50 grand a week offer? It feels similar, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. We were talking about the reason mentioned it as well, because we were talking about it because apparently we're in it, which was news to us. There's a bit of audio.
Our lawyers will be getting in touch because they did not have permission for that.
No, they didn't. I heard someone message me on Twitter and like, you know, you're in this Pogba documentary, just my audio of me talking about his move, I should say. So I didn't know about that, and then I've heard it and it definitely sounds like me. So yeah, you will be getting contacted by our lawyers. Thank you.
Were you surprised by the sort of quotes and how we came out of it? It didn't seem to be, it wasn't a massive shock to me in terms of like a PR exercise. It was exactly sort of what I expected of Paul Pogba. And you always get the tweet, don't you, that everyone who's close to Paul Pogba says he's a really nice person, he's a family person and stuff, which is fantastic, and I'm sure he is, but the whole thing regarding the wages, just, you know, it just didn't, it's not a good look, is it?
No. The masks slip a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit tone deaf when you're moaning about certain things, like, you know, I went to Miami.
Wait, you played half of your matches for the club in the last 2 years.
Yeah. It's not great, especially at this time now. Especially when you've left, so there's less loyalty towards you. Less fans are like sticking up for you. And also, you know, when you're going home, they only offered me 300 grand when so many people are not just skint, but absolutely struggling.
Don't get me started on the electricity, Jay.
It's sort of mean. It's
fucking
like,
Christ.
I know. We don't have any lights on in our house anymore. Loving this. This is the good thing about the heatwave as well. You don't have to have the heating on either. It's amazing. You can actually live like a normal person.
Candles.
There you go. There's the way forward. The Francis Bailey, who's been a member of the academy.
Trees. Candles don't grow on trees.
No. member of the academy for 90 months says, had donkey starter and horse main course in Italy. It was tasty.
Horse is meant to be a bit like beef, though, isn't it?
Well, they had, do you remember the horse scandal?
It Findus.
Yeah. When they had all that stuff. Jamie Burton says, eating dogs in China is rare. Small province that has a festival. Most of China are against it. Pet market is huge. New laws to restrict dog eating. So there you go. There's a bit of an update on
I mean, it's like, have you seen that? There's that Peter advert, isn't it? It's like, where do you draw the line? It's got like ducks and thinking. And someone's literally gone, right there. Like in between the horse and the cow, I think. Yeah, right there, mate.
Did you see that thing with Gordon Ramsay where he was growing, we had like a farm, and he's not a farm, he had like animals in his garden. Like lambs, and he slaughtered them in front of his kids. Like the kids got to know the animals.
How old was his kids?
I don't know. And he was trying to teach them where food comes from. And they get attached to these lambs, and then he go like, right, okay, now we're gonna kill them and eat them.
Was that part of a show?
Yeah.
So he didn't want to do it to tell a message to the kids. Just,
that's how I found out.
Monetize it.
It's just like
I thought they grew in the supermarket.
Yeah. Well, I spoke. Has Uncensored gone out yet? Okay, so in Uncensored, I was talking
Uncensored's not going out because it takes about 3 days to edit it.
Censor it. in Uncensored, I was chatting to Macca and I said, look, I don't agree with trophy hunting. I think that's a bit fucking weird, if anything. But I do believe in hunting. And I would love to go and hunt and eat something because I think that whole process, if you don't eat meat, you get free reign to call everyone a fucking murderer. Fine, do what you want. But if you do eat meat, I don't think you can be against meat hunting. Trophy hunting, everyone can be against because that's despicable and people are killing rhinos and lions and endangered shit. Fuck you, right? But like deer and animals that are bred for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think you should know the full extent of the process of, you know, harvesting that animal and doing it yourself. Because I think outsourcing your killing of animals to the supermarket. So you just walk around the supermarket and see just carcasses and you don't connect it to being a living creature. And I think occasionally going and doing your own sort of meat harvesting brings you back to what you're doing. And I think you maybe respect the food that you're eating a little bit more definitely. By the fact that you know the process behind harvesting the meat that you're getting. Because I think, especially in Western society, we're so fucking disconnected from the realities of... I mean, we probably eat meat every day, right? Safe to say?
Yeah, yeah.
How often do you think about what the process is behind that?
I don't. I love the way you said carcasses. I reckon that put up enough meat if you just walk through
your look. Can I have a bit of that carcass, please?
Oh, yes. Carcass aisle.
The cow carcass.
It's not fully decomposed yet, so I'll have it.
In fact, let's have an advert and we'll come back to this in a minute. We're going to talk about a little bit more about what you've just said there. First, we're going to hear from Surfshark.
Now more than ever, our internet reliance is rapidly increasing. We stream our favourite shows, keep in touch with loved ones, and watch podcasts like The Brew, all on the internet. And we'd like to think that our information is safe, but as our online footprint increases, our information needs to be properly secure, Jay. We need it.
We need that proper security.
Yes.
Surfshark is a VPN service that protects your information by encrypting all the data that you send out through the internet. Another great reason to use VPN is because it can enable you to use services that are sometimes restricted in other countries. So things like Netflix, Amazon Prime, all that sort of stuff. When using a VPN, that lets you access other channels that you might not be able to access from the country that you're in.
And with Surfshark, you can solve that problem by simply changing your location. So you can be on the beach on holiday and set it back to the UK and watch the Premier League games with your normal streaming services.
Currently, Surfshark has an amazing deal. By using the code PADDOCK, you can get 81% off. That's 81%, which just sounds too good to be
ridiculous.
True.
And you also get 3 months free. And with Surfshark, you also get a 30-day money-back guarantee. So use the link in the description and the code PADDOCK for 81% off, 3 months free, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Use Surfshark. You can't get better than that, Jay.
Couple of quid a month, you're laughing.
Ludicrous.
So a big thanks to Surfshark. What I was about to say to you, before we get into that ad, was Joe Rogan isn't so alright, is he?
Yeah, he likes bow hunting and stuff.
Is that what he goes out and hunts for food, is it?
I got a bow. Is it not in the back in there?
No, we took it away from you.
Right.
We hid it.
Along with your fucking Wallard, by the way. Right. Absolutely mega hard to give it some of that action.
Yeah. I remember doing it at school and all that. It's quite difficult. How would you be at going hunting and guy? He'd be mint, obviously, because of his background.
I'd
be in his
anyway.
Team if, yeah.
No. I would. Scott, I have 100 people. It's the best one.
And he's not even exaggerating.
We're not even allowed to do that anymore.
No. I'm
kidding. You are.
Would you go veg?
Nah, I'm not into guns. Like, I'm not. I know you are, obviously.
Yeah, but they don't have to be bows. They don't have to be guns. There's a million different ways.
Yeah.
Fucking get it in a headlock and club it.
I'm a bit of a
rock.
I'm a bit of a man ass when it comes to food. Like, I feel sorry for the animal, and I'm a hypocrite.
You couldn't kill your food. You couldn't kill your own food.
No, I agree with what you're saying. I am a hypocrite because I would eat. You know, I eat meat, but I wouldn't feel comfortable slitting a cow's throat or whatever.
I went tuna fishing.
Punching it in the head until it goes.
That's good.
Big head, Anthony.
Depends what
I went tuna fishing in Indonesia and just out on this rickety boat and we caught
you
a
went
big
tuna fishing?
Tuna
that was
fishing.
Our money-making scheme, on it?
No, that was in the kitchen at 3 a.m.
Have you seen how big tuna fish are?
Yeah, right. And the guy, we got it on the boat. And he couldn't kill it, and he's literally levering the shit out of this fucking tuna, trying to knock it out. Like, there's fucking sandals out and all sorts of stuff. But brown bread, and then tasted.
I've got away. Stole it under this water. Yeah. Did it for 3 days. What's going on here? Yeah. Hey, some of this. It's not drowned yet.
It definitely tastes nicer though when you cook it fresher.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because again, that's a little bit of hypocrisy. Because fish, I'm not that bothered about. I'm not a fish fan, but. Killing fish wouldn't.
Who is a fish fan?
But yeah, that's true.
It's the internet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. True.
But I wouldn't feel that bad about killing a fish, whereas like
chicken,
a lamb, or a,
I couldn't kill a lamb.
You know what I mean?
Lambs are fucking gorgeous, aren't they?
They're little cute little fluffy things.
They're literally made out of clouds.
That's what I mean. Dean B 1980 says candles aren't good enough. They only last a wick. Nice dad joke there. Yeah. Someone else. Excuse me. Daniel Farr says, Rogan is exclusively hunting BS these days. Right, okay.
Better than COVID BS that he was.
Yeah, he went a bit mad, didn't he, Joe Rogan? Because wasn't he like very anti-vax?
Yeah. Then he got it and he started taking all sorts of mad
shit. And I saw one thing where he was like, oh, there's this story in Australia where they're banning you from growing your own food. And he's like to his producer, can you pull up the story for me? I felt sorry because, you know, no one wants to be in this position when you're on a live show. And his producer's obviously googling everything and can't find his story because it doesn't exist.
Photoshop there,
he's like, oh my, and he's like, I found a story in New Zealand that's not the same.
Yeah, go on, run that.
And he goes, no, that's not it. Oh, it looks like it was a fake. And I thought, oh mate, come on, why are you doing this to yourself, Joel? Just stick to interviewing people and stop trying to be a doctor. Longhorn Lover 44, Steehausen, come to Texas. I'll show you how we hunt and fish.
Fishing doesn't really excite me. No. I am far too off my nut for fishing.
Too active. Too.
Yeah. Fishing's a
deep
lot
sea
more
fishing's different than just going down your local lake.
Yeah, I ain't got sea legs, mate. I throw up really? In the place. Yeah, it's not good.
See, I wouldn't mind. I used to fish when I was a kid, going with my dad and stuff. I don't mind going fishing. That's more chilling it. Do you know what I mean? Just sitting there, relaxing.
I couldn't think of anything worse. The fucking voices are going
to
be.
I know
all
you
over
have to be
then.
Doing fuck something, don't you? You are
hearing a twig break in the background.
Just too fucking much. Like, yeah, no. Sit here. What? Sit here for what? Are we going to be sitting here for 6 minutes? Like, what? Yeah. No, yeah. Probably about 4 hours. Yeah, I don't think so. We'll chase someone through the woods.
Steve sends me pictures, right, and he goes out running. Because Steve goes out running at night, and it's like, I use him to scare my kids when they're not. Is there any more that? He's coming round here.
No, please.
Steve at 1 a.m. just coming in, just been out of a kettlebell running 10K in the forest. I'm like, oh my God. If anyone bumps in,
run round with a kettlebell?
Did about 4 miles with it, yeah.
Fucking hell. What weight?
20 kg. That's with 15 on the vest.
Jeez.
Yeah, really powered by hate and lunacy.
Yeah. Manchester Rock, yeah. It is. It keeps it going.
Yeah.
The Manchester Rock. I thought he'd give up and he hadn't. His thing had fallen off his, what's it, his sign or whatever.
At the bridge.
It. Yeah.
At Castlefield Bridge.
I was shocking, man. And I was like, I know you.
Literally, a guy walked past me, tapped me on the back, and I think he must have moved the sticker and it blew round in front of me. And I was like, well, there's no one around me. I went, excuse me, is that my thing here? And he'd gone then. And I'm like, I can't get on my knees and fucking pick up the thing.
Yeah. I thought, there's no way he's giving up. I know him. If it kills him, he'll do it.
But the last, so the 8 to 9K back down Chester Road, I was in fucking clipper. I couldn't put my left foot down at all. Like my leg had just completely gone. And I'm like, weighing my options up. And it sounds big headed, but it's true. There was loads of fucking people recognised me doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I can't quit. I'm going to get abused. Yeah. So I can't just fucking go home. And two, they've closed Chester Road. I couldn't even get an Uber here. Like, I'm just going to have to fucking wait until the ambulance gets me. I'm going to have to finish. Like, no matter what, I'm going to have to finish. So that's between good. 8 and 9K, I was in clip. And then from 9K onwards, I just pretended it didn't hurt.
Yeah, that's good, man. That is good. No, I hear you that. Because it's like, I was thinking, like, when I was doing it, I can't. Because some people, like, walking and out, and I thought, I've got to be running when I get to the village. I don't know where my family are. And if I just walk for, say, 10 seconds, and that's the 10-second thing.
That's
where they see me. I'm like, oh, daddy's walking. Oh. And I'm like, I ran all the rest. Yeah, of course you did. So no, I had to keep going. But no, it was good. It was good that we all did it as well, man. I was proper buzzing about that. Jay Sandoval says, I could kill a chicken. See, I don't know, you know. I don't know about that. Moleman82 says, hey Jay, did get that movie Arizona on any streaming site? No, I didn't. Thanks for the heads up, but I'll have a look at that. We've got Jose Mourinho on the thumbnail because he was...
Whoa. This sounds like on topic. What are you doing?
Sorry. Right. What's the one animal you couldn't kill for food?
Definitely not a dog.
No, dogs. You said you could not kill a dog, but you could kill a cat.
Yeah, again.
Yeah.
I can't stand them. The snidey little creatures, cats. You wouldn't trust a cat, would you?
I think our cat in our house just hates us all.
There you go. Right. Why'd you feed it?
And it talks as well, right? You know, like it's been outside.
Chat shit to you.
Yeah. Been outside for it. Like,
you're still sober, Jay, yeah?
Honestly, my missus always laughs because I talk to the cat like it's a normal person. Saying, well, don't blame me. It's your own fault. You went out there. And I open like the door for it and it comes in and it'll just go, yeah. Like,
I'd lose my shit.
Like,
do you fucking talk?
That's what I mean. That's what I do.
Giving you lip.
I say, there's no need for that. And Missy's like, you lost the plot song to the cat. And then it'll just like, it just eats. Doesn't want to be stroked or cuddle, mess, play with the kids or anything. It just wants to eat, be left alone, and then go out. It's like it runs the house.
Yeah, you won't be charging it rent.
I know.
Yeah.
It's fuck like, cats. You know,
but then you get the opposite way when you get dogs and they're all quite needy and stuff. You want something to rely on you.
I know. Well, my family are all. This is the losing battle that I'm fighting about. They want to get a dog, and I think that sooner or later it's going to happen.
Dogs are top.
Yeah, your Diesel's top. And I made the mistake of taking a picture with him and sending it and to the family, and then it was
Diesel
like,
still acts like a puppy. He's 13.
Really? Oh, yeah. Have you got pets?
Yeah, I got a dog, Sonny, French Bulldogs, like four in November.
Yes.
There's a geezer come up to us yesterday and was doing a sky for me, Joe and Alex.
Oh, it was on Sky.
He had a blue staff. It was like a fucking tank. It was massive. Just seeing the head on it. It was huge. And I see this a few times with staffies. Some people have them where they could walk them and they ain't got a lead. Not even a lead in the pocket. Just they're just walking and the dog's right there. And I think, Diesel's a fucking dick, mate. Like, he's just gone. If I was at Old Trafford with him, he'd be in the canal.
Really?
Yeah. He's a dick.
He's not. He's such a good dog. Well, we've got a bit of update here. Jonathan Schrager, who's been on this brew, hasn't he, with us, with me and Steve. He just tweeted, he says, Man United talks with Jurrien Timber broke down during the process of working on personal terms. Talks are presently stalled, but not ended. He's also said that United are currently discussing personal terms for Vitinha, but have not made an official bid for FC Porto.
Which is technically illegal.
Okay.
I was going to say the same thing. Like,
yeah.
It happens, doesn't it? But
yeah, of course.
Yeah. He also says here that United are pushing hard to secure the signing of Malcolm, I'm going to get this wrong, forgive me, Ebiyoe, with his representatives also keen on the move. And the other one that he tweeted about 50 minutes ago was that Ronaldo is happy to be at Old Trafford. So there's a few bits going on there. You've done a few videos on this. You've done about Ten Hag. You've done on both on our channel and on your channel. Are you concerned yet? Because there was one on, I think, was it the XG files where you were like, what's going down? And then there's a party that's like, it's not that deep.
You got to remember, right? In City and Liverpool's position, what do they need? One or two signings?
Yeah. Which they've done.
Gaffers have been there 6 years.
Yeah.
They know the market. They know the squad. They know what they're doing. You could argue, has Erik ten Hag done his due diligence on the squad yet? Or does he need to see them in the flesh to assess them? You could argue. Now, you could also argue, if he's had a satellite subscription, he probably knows exactly who needs to get fucked off.
Yeah.
And you would hope that he spoke to some members of the squad, some people that he trusts, got some opinions. I know he's into his video analysis, so I imagine he's just been going through the entire season, watching every minute of every game. And he's probably got some, I hope he's got some opinions. I hope he's not just coming in with a complete blank slate 1st of July and be like,
me. It's a good point now, because you can't give everyone a blank slate. You can't look at the entire 27 players we've got or whatever and go, every single one of you, from Andres Pereira to,
How'd you get a visa organised for someone to go to Australia on pre-season? Like, yeah. Those are like, you think football clubs can just circumvent things like that, but they can't.
No.
He's going to, like, let's say we sign Frankie de Jong.
Yeah.
He needs a visa.
Yeah.
Like, that's the law. If you want to take people with you, there are things in place that you have to do before they can go. So I don't think it's as simple as like, we'll just get him done the day before we go on tour. Guess what, fuckface? No, you're not. It isn't going to work like that.
But wasn't like part of Ralph Rangnick's job to identify who we needed, where we needed replacements, and then pass that information on to Ten Hag? So surely there
maybe,
should be...
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, they shot themselves in the foot with that one anyway, the Glazers, didn't they?
Well, the fact that he's no longer at the club.
Yeah.
Summit went west, didn't it? I don't know if it was his performance.
I think it's quite him being outspoken.
His press conference performance or his touchline performance, it was one of the two. That's shut the door on whatever he was doing. And has that put a speed bump in the preparations with Ten Hag? Maybe, maybe not. He said he only had an hour-long phone call. But realistically, how long did that phone call... Like, if someone had said they had a 12-hour-long phone call, you'd be like, oh, fucking hell, that was in-depth. Did you need 12 hours? Like, an hour-long phone call is a pretty long phone call.
You can just WhatsApp some names, can't you? I mean, it takes 2 seconds to do. How do you stand on Gary Neville's comments then that is start to get worried? A bit nervous considering other people? Because Spurs have announced Bissouma today.
Spurs are doing well. But
do you like Bissouma? Sorry, I don't want to distract you from Scottish question. Just quickly, do you like him?
As a footballer, yeah.
Yeah.
Off the field?
No, that's a different story. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for me, I'm not that bothered about Bissouma.
Is he better than what we've got?
Yes.
Yeah, but I can't. I hear that.
So there you go.
But you can say that. You can throw a stone out the window and probably at someone that's better than what we've got.
Well, we should go sign who's outside the window then. Yeah.
But I think, go get some stone. If we have got targets and we're going from fair enough, Bissouma for me, I think he's good at sticking a foot in that. Just seems a little bit sloppy from what I'm seeing him sometimes, a little bit.
Okay, have you seen Manchester United play?
Yes, I have. And I get what he's saying, that it's better than what we've got. But I'm hoping we're going to bring in players that are better than him as well. And it's not just going to be, we're back with McFred every in the summer. Sorry, go on. Yeah, Scott was asking you there about what Gary Neville would say.
No, I'm not necessarily worried. I mean, yeah, it's good to have everything done, but I almost think that there's got to be some sort of due diligence done as well, where, you know, can he fully go, I know I need this. Yes, he might be able to do that with Frankie De Jong. Pogba's gone, Matic has gone, Matt has gone, Lingard's gone. He's like, we definitely need Frankie De Jong. But he might not have an answer on the centre-half yet, or the striking situation yet, or even the wingers yet. He might be like, no, do you know what? I like Marcus. I think he'll get back to his best. Now, if he doesn't, yeah, he's going to have to act. But he might be sort of holding back a little bit of decision-making until he sees what they're like. Some of these lads have gone and done pre-seasons. So they might come back in good nick. They might have a ceiling that never hits what he wants. You know, you've got to assume some of the signings that he makes are going to be misses. You've got to assume some of the players that are at the club are going to be better than we thought, and some will be worse than we thought. But I don't think there's no reason to panic just yet, because even if we'd have signed a load of players right now, it don't mean anything.
Do you not think we're concentrating too much on this Frankie De Jong deal? What happens if that falls through?
Problem. But I also think that he's identified him as being, that's someone I know I can work with.
Yep.
That's someone I know knows what my system is. That is a priority. And I think everything else needs to be secondary to getting him in. But it's such an important part of the pitch. It's such an important character. And it's someone that obviously knows exactly what Ten Hag wants. You got to think of the risk factor of him signing Frankie De Jong versus a player with equal stats to Frankie De Jong that he's never met is way higher. So I think if he brings in Frankie, then he can go, right, okay, that's sorted and we don't have to panic now and let's get in X, Y, and Z. If he doesn't get Frankie in, then he's got to go and find out, well, who's my alternative to him that's going to do that job? You know, maybe the budget's different, maybe this, that, and the other. And I don't think you can necessarily work out, well, can I go and sign this £50 million striker? Well, no, because this other midfielder that we were thinking of instead of Frankie is actually more than Frankie is. So I think there's a knock-on effect. And it looks like our board can't do more than one deal at a time.
Yeah.
But maybe they're stalling on some deals, waiting to finish this one. And then they'll be like, right, okay, X, Y, Z, go.
Because we work out what budget is left after the basis of the...
Do you think there's pressure on him with this De Jong thing?
I'm sure it'll be fine.
No, with the board, with the likes of Murtagh, with the likes of Arnold, because we've given us clean slate, haven't we? Yeah. Well, like, as a channel, or just not as a channel, as individuals, I've gone, you know what, let's see what they're about. They're coming into this job. All right, show us that you know what
not
you're
Woodward.
Doing. Yeah, not Woodward. Show us what you're about. And it does feel like if you don't get De Jong now, that looks like, okay, is this just more of the same?
Well, we've just become more of a laughing stock, haven't we? Especially with all the papers week in, day in, day out, isn't it?
This is your chance to show us that, you know what, we are going to do things the right way.
What are we going to do come end of July? Didn't want him anyway.
Yeah.
You fucking did. You did.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Spurs and Arsenal are going to bought midfielders. The Scousers and City have got what they need. And we're going, right, okay, so who are we getting? Eriksen, do you want to come? Do you know what I mean? It's not great, is it?
That'd be a bad window, wouldn't it? I mean, he's a good footballer. He's had a great end to the season. But really, has he had a better end to the season than what Jesse Lingard had last year?
I was saying this morning in the news. I said exactly that almost. It's very Jesse at West Ham, but not as good. Which isn't the criticism of Eriksen, because he still had a good
Eriksen's style. A better player than Lingard.
No, he is.
Of course he is, but the form of Jesse at West Ham was...
What, nine goals in 15 games? It's like, wow, my God. And he's 27, 28 at the time. But yeah, that he went on then and went back into the United team.
Has
he
been rumoured to sign anywhere?
Not that I've seen. You know more than I do.
On form,
but I mean, listen, I'd have Eriksen, but as our main signing, you're going to go, come on. Do you know what I mean?
Was it Herrera we were chasing for a year before when we sent the men in black over, and that was all sort of balls up under Woodward?
Well, that was apparently they weren't affiliated with the club.
Of course they fucking were.
But that's what they were saying. It was imposters on the deadline day.
Who rocks up with 35 million in cash?
I don't know. Well, that again, though, it was a farce because I like Herrera,
just think of the logistics of this, Jay, right? Yeah. If you turn up with a hold all for 35 million and go, well, I'm here from Manchester United, where's your payoff?
Yeah.
Where's the scam? You know what I mean?
No, that's the old agent way of doing things, isn't it? Of like, I'm not saying that's what happened, but, I'm...
Because they go, all right, there you go, there's Ander Herrera's registration form, best of luck at Manchester United, and you go, ha, 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 into taking 35 million off me. What the fuck?
No, that's like the old agent way of doing things, when he used to like... say they represented a player but weren't, and then play like a go-between thing, you know, Fergie saying...
Yeah, but didn't they turn up with cash?
I don't know if they turned up with cash. 35 million in cash is like a truck full of it. I mean, they might have done. I don't know. All I remember from that
Or maybe
window,
it was a very dramatic briefcase with a cheque.
Yeah, it's like...
Or a banker's draft.
And that is, you know, made out to cash. Do you know what I mean? So you don't even have to wait the 3 days.
And I've signed
the
back. I don't know what that means, but
there
I signed the back.
Can I have Ander Herrera? What do you mean Manchester United never heard of me? I don't know. It was a fast start, but what made me sort of laugh as well is we got him the next summer, And then he sat on the bench, didn't he, under Van Gaal for a while? It was like Van Gaal didn't even want him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We were playing Wayne Rooney in midfield.
We were signing players for Van Gaal, and obviously he vetoed the Tony Cruz one. But we signed Van Gaal and was like, right, we've done these trainings, are you happy with them? And he went, yeah, no.
It's weird though, isn't it? He said no to Cruz and was like, yeah, we're sure, and with others that you think, how much of him have you seen?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's really strange that.
But then you think, like, is some of the holdup that United have done the exact same fucking thing this summer and gone to Ten Hag is what we've got lined up. Point. And he goes, no, I want Frankie de Jong. And they've gone, oh, fuck.
What do you make of that, Steve? The whole, well, both of you, the sign-off system that apparently is in place where, I read somewhere that it was Murtagh and Ten Hag, and someone else was saying it was ahead of scouting as well, so it was Murtagh, Brown and Ten Hag that all have to sign off on a player. Is that normal? Is that worrying? Or is that
well, that was what was explained to me by someone at the club.
Right, go on.
Under Ollie and Mick was the sort of football-based side of stuff, and they would sign off. The analysis team, like the video analysis, would have to say, yeah, we agree. The scouting department that does like the old-school style, you know, notepad and a flat cap sort of scouting, they'd sign off on it. Then you'd have to get... Judge would sign off on it from a financial point of view, and then Wood would have the final rubber stamp. No wonder we didn't fucking sign.
Yeah, there's a lot of big process to go through. And if that's still there, isn't it? Because haven't we just got a new scouting team since March? Didn't we?
Yeah, Marcel Boo and Jim Lawler have bounced.
Yeah, they're still there.
So do you think there might be any sort of delay in that? Because they'll have identified players, and then we've got new scouts that have come in.
But did we identify players? Look who we signed last year. Who identified them? A fucking 12-year-old with the latest FIFA. Like, what do we sign? Cristiano Ronaldo, Rafael Varane, Sancho.
Yeah.
And a player that used to play.
We've discussed this a lot. Like, I mean, I'm not sure your opinion on it. Have United ever signed, like, an unknown gem and turned him onto a world beater? Who was the last time? We said Evra and Vidic was the last time we sort of got...
Evra and Vidic probably tried it with Kagawa. I think they probably tried it with Nick Powell. I think they probably tried it with Dan James. I think they're trying it. I think they tried it with Palestri and Ahmad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when you look... Maybe we don't have the successes some clubs have had, but I think we've tried it. Kagawa could have been as well. What a fucking waste he was. And in terms of...
Jason Park would be a good shout.
Park, absolutely, yeah.
James Wood
said... We've done a lot of them, have we?
Yeah. James Wood says, that team needs the Steve video of fuck offs, absolute comedy gold, but so accurate. Yeah, that video kind of went viral, didn't it? When you were sort of saying, if you don't want to be here, you can fuck off, basically. Someone else was asking as well, where was it? Sorry about this, trying to find it. Liam Pickering, sorry, says, director of football in T2 in the US, any advice? I think they're saying they've got a director of football in T2 in the US.
Well, that's their job.
I think so.
Fair play.
Any advice?
I don't fully understand the transfer-based system. A director of football really should be either setting the on-field philosophy or the off-field sort of recruitment and that sort of philosophy. This is the problem with director of football, technical director, sporting director. It depends on what your responsibilities are, doesn't it? I mean, we have a director of football at Paddock. He's called Bill.
Yeah.
He's former head of crew, Alexandra Academy. He's worked for City. He's worked for Morecambe. Guy's got 40-something years experience.
As you do.
Now, his job is to tell me where I'm fucking up.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a coach mentor. He's a bit... The guy's got, I think, 2 degrees. It's called Bill. Shout out, Bill. He's like the same age as my dad. He's great. Little Cockney, West Ham fan. Aggressive little bulldog type guy.
Nice.
But you know, he's got like 2 degrees in psychology, so he'll make you justify any decision. So I'll go blah, 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 and he'll be like, why? He'll blah, blah, blah. Why? Why do you think that? Why do you think that? What about this? What about that? And before you know it, he's interrogated the shit out of you. And he might go, oh, yeah, I totally agree. But he's just made sure that you actually believe and agree with whatever you've just fucking said.
Yeah, of course.
Enough that you can back it up.
But Bill's a football person, and that's the difference, isn't it, with what we've got upstairs at Manchester United.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Abdul Ibrahim.
Yeah, for the guy's question.
Oh, sorry, go on.
It depends on your responsibilities of what your job as director of football is. Is it recruitment? Because my director of football, Bill, is more... He's a development of coaches, myself included, the rest of the coaches, and that side of the sort of performance of the club. We do all right on recruitment, and you know, we do all right on other sort of things that a director of football might cover. So he's more about developing the coaches so we develop the players better.
Good stuff, man. Abdul Ibrahim, who's been a member of the first team 2 months, says, is the issue down to Murtagh and Arnold being new in their roles? I think they are still learning and mistakes will be made. Still better than Matt Judge. I mean,
my take on that is how long have we known Woodward was going for? Because there must have been some sort of transition. It's not like Woodward's left.
A year ago, exactly.
So they will have been learning the ropes beforehand. I'm not giving them any sort of leeway at all with that. Woodward, you know, we need to learn the job.
I don't know if that's the case at all.
They're also paid about $5 million.
Exactly.
Yeah. How about you learn the job by 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Right. Or fuck off.
How about being an expert at the job and that's why you've got the job rather than being, you know.
It's a bullshit.
Come on, we don't.
United could need more
like
of them sort of experts in roles.
Yeah. Why are we taking interns on?
Learn on the job. It's only United. It's only the most important
YTS,
job.
YTS, man.
It's only a four, yeah. Imagine a $4 billion company going, listen, there were some seriously qualified people that applied for this job.
It's like,
we've decided to go with you.
It's like when we were talking
Show
about.
Us what you're made of. Now's your time to shine.
And we're paying you like an expert.
Yeah.
So better act like one.
Yeah.
It's like when we were talking the other night on a podcast about the government and how they just move people from head of health, even though they've got no experience. It's like Nadine Dorries.
Well, now head of culture. Yeah. What's a tractor, mate?
Yeah.
Don't know, figure it out.
Right. Danny Wilde has been a member of the Academy for 40 months, says, is it possible that the Glazers are thinking of selling and that's why we are not going to all out to get someone big and couldn't Garner do the job at CM? I mean, we always hold on to this hope that the Glazers are going to sell. I don't know if there's any much evidence. We had Kieran Maguire on for the Price of Football, who was talking about obviously the share price falling and $1.3 billion being wiped off the club's value. But you need to find that buyer who's going to come in with the billions.
I don't think
it's going to take.
Mate. I think if they put us up on, I mean, where would the club be? eBay, right? I reckon they'd stick us on there. You have a buyer that day.
We want Jim Ratcliffe. Pound.
Look at the way Chelsea. Now. I thought Chelsea might be a bit rougher to get hold of. Fuck me.
Everyone was coming out for them, wasn't it? I agree with you.
I think Manchester United comes up on the market. There's a rush.
Yeah.
I reckon they'd probably get a bidding war going on. They come away with $4, $5, $6 million.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, a billion even.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That
valuation only matters, decreasing valuation is if they sell the club. It's just statistics and it's just numbers at the moment.
Yeah, well, Kieran was saying though that, you know, they might look at it and go, okay, now is a good time for us to sell because now we're going to get the most we will get for Manchester United in terms
well,
of
if they've seen stuff. If they've seen it dip, so it's gone from about 4 to about 3, right, yeah. Billion. And if they go, well, they're the buyers, or so they're the owners, so they go, all right, well, for argument's sake, I think it's around about 10p a share, something like that, and it was 14, some sort of, let's just massive fucking broad stroke ballparks. If they said, all right, if you all give us 17p a share, we'll sell. It goes to 17p a share before they finish talking. And it goes. Because people will fucking dive straight in on that because there'll be speculators who go, I think they'll actually get 18 here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I put 100 million in at 17p a share, I get an extra fucking 1p per, you know, a billion shares. I've just made a fucking reload.
Yeah.
That's how it works, especially for a publicly traded company. I think that they could probably go to 20p a share and some fucker would pay it. I wouldn't be shocked.
No.
Because look at the random ass deal that Chelsea managed to get. Oh, by the way, you need to guarantee that you spend this amount on the pitch. How the fuck can you make an owner sign that agreement? And
yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
And you need to pay all the debt and then blah, blah, blah. And I want like twice as much as what the list price is. And they went, yeah, sound, there's a check. You could put them sort of caveats in with United. Oh, by the way,
they're not going to do that though, are they? They don't give a shit.
They're just like, I want it in cash.
Yeah, I just want money now in my bank. Yeah. Don't worry about the debt. Just we never did. Just make sure you give me loads of money. That's all I care about. What, you're going to bulldoze a stadium and change the club into something else? Fine, whatever. Abhinav Verma says, you ignore the fee, Pogba was a hidden gem. Well, yeah, that's facts, as they say. Can't argue with that. No, I think, you know, the whole Glazer thing, and we see all these financial reports and news updates, but you're just so deflated with it. It's almost impossible to get too excited, to be honest with you. What are you up to this weekend? I'll start with you.
Okay. No idea. Working tomorrow. I've got a radio show tomorrow.
I don't want to read this out because Janine's ended a text with... This is my wife, by the way. Yeah. She's ended it with dare you. So
No. Well, we're not doing dares on here.
I'm going to ask you to just do what she says.
All right.
But let's maybe mute the telly. Or mute your laptop just before we do that. So go on, Scotty. While he's doing this, what are you doing this weekend?
Got my radio show tomorrow night and then probably go running on Sunday. I've signed up for a marathon, so...
Have you?
I'm training for the air in Southampton. End of July.
Right, okay.
Are you running that?
So this is what.
What's he doing with that?
Your wife has said geoduck.
What the fuck is she doing at home, by the way?
So she said geoduck.
She's searching it on YouTube.
I'm searching it, and it's very strange. This is what it is.
I can see.
Yeah, it's a bit. Guess what?
It's something we're not going to be Googling again.
Yeah, thanks for that, Janine. So you're doing a marathon soon.
No, I'm training for a marathon.
Yeah, you're training for a marathon. What are you up to this weekend?
got our first pre-season game, official pre-season game on Sunday. We had a training match on Wednesday. We've got an actual friendly, or well, it's a friendly cup competition on Sunday. But tomorrow we've got a trial, so if you want to come and play for us, 12 o'clock tomorrow at Nichols. You can get the address and all that lot. But 12 o'clock tomorrow, we're running a trial. Four teams, under-21s, development team, reserves and first team. For first team, you really need to be like, played at non-league or been in an academy or something like that. But for the other teams, it's quite a broad range of ability. So if you want to get involved with a club, we are having a trial for tomorrow if you want to come and join us.
Yeah, man.
Go nearly 1,000 members as well.
That's
in a week.
Good. You've smashed it.
Scotty's fucking nice voiceover killed it.
Really?
There you go. People like it.
Nearly 1,000 members.
You're ubiquitous, aren't you?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, look it up.
Yeah. Father's Day, are you doing anything for Father's Day? Nah, do you get spoiled?
No, my missus has got the market stall in Earlham, so I'm helping her with that, which is the opposite of getting spoiled.
I got the rundown on Saturday. Notch and Alex Bailey, probably in the chat now, both of them.
Oh, Notch. Love Notch.
They're
Alex
both
going to
be on it live with us, so yeah. If you want to come and join us on that, I'll be getting twisted. So Sunday, I'll be hungover.
Are you going to help me out? What? Send me a link or I've got to sign up for one of your things.
Send you a link.
I've been on it now and again. You sat me on it, but you stopped having me on because I don't drink and I'm boring. Those are your words. So go and check him out. Get that at Nichols.
I'd have both of you host it. But the whole idea is to get drunk.
Yeah, that's what I'm
I'll be all right with that.
Yeah, but he's not, though, is he? I know. Sorry.
Sorry
for letting you down.
We got Sloppy Joe takeover as well. That's going to be entertaining, though, isn't it?
You could be like Ted Danson.
Tom Cruise, yeah. Cocktail. Yeah. But you've got Sloppy Joe's.
Sloppy Joe's are hosting.
Why have we not got Scotty and Marty?
Because you don't drink, you dickhead.
That's so? Scotty.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm up for
Scotty
that,
from Scotty and Marty.
All right, you can have him then, yeah, fine. Scotty and Sloppy Joe's. Awesome. Scotty and Sloppy. Make sure you check it out, the rundown then, and go and check out. Go down to Nichols if you fancy your chances of joining Paddock FC. And big thanks to everyone who's supported the channel as well. Both over on Paddock FC and supported this channel as well. I've had loads of good chats tonight and loads of views and appreciate it. That's been Scotty. I've been Jay. That's been Steve Nelson. This has been The Brew. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.